Good morning. Please open to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 26 and go to the end of the chapter. We're continuing on with Philip this morning and seeing how the Lord uses him to spread the gospel. Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. And in his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is God's word. Here we see Philip doing evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with a stranger, someone he'd never met before. He was following the will, following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, he shared the gospel, in this case, with not only a stranger, not only a Samaritan, as he had last week we saw, but now this is someone who's completely a foreigner, who's from another country, but who's come to worship God. And there were others that we know that were converts to Judaism and believed in God and believed in the Lord and came to Jerusalem to worship him. And this Ethiopian eunuch is one of them. First, Philip meets an Ethiopian seeker in verses 26 to 29. An angel tells Philip where to go. He goes as he is instructed to down to this road. And it says this is a desert place, so there's nothing going on here. I think also that there's a possibly a little indication here by calling this a desert place that it's referring to it spiritually also, that this is not a place where you would expect some great revival or someone to come to faith in Jesus Christ in. It's a place that seems like there's no spiritual activity going on as you look about and see no worldly activity going on in this place. But he obeys and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch who's an official in the court of Candace and who's the queen of the Ethiopians. And he's a very important person. He's in charge of the entire treasury. He's riding in a chariot. He has his own copy of at least the book of Isaiah. These are very rare things. To have a chariot, that'd be a very, very rare thing. It's not everyone riding around in their own chariots like we see everyone driving around in their own cars today. It would be incredibly rare. And to have your own copy of the scriptures and not just have one in the synagogue or going to the temple to hear it would be incredibly rare. So this is a very wealthy, a very well-to-do, a very important, as you say, person, a diplomat of some in some ways here, representing the Ethiopian kingdom, the country of Ethiopia, and representing his queen, Candace, here. And he comes up to, Philip comes up to the Ethiopian, and he just stops and he listens. He listens to what's going on. He doesn't go right up and say, here's what I got to tell you about. He's listening to understand. It's so important for us, whether we're sharing the gospel or whether we're communicating with people in general, to listen. We're terrible at listening in general. We're very good at being quiet for a few seconds while someone else speaks, and we're quiet so we can think about what to say, right? We're not necessarily listening to what they say. We're trying to figure out what our next input is going to be, as opposed to listening. I would just suggest, and I'm not trying to build a whole case for how we evangelize out of these few words here, but I would just like to suggest to us that part of sharing the gospel, or part of being in any relationship, is to spend a lot more time listening. It's very difficult. I'm sure you could ask people in my life how good I do at listening, and they would say I have some room to grow in this area. Yes, my son is agreeing that I have some room to grow in this area. Lord, may I please grow in this and be one who pauses and listens also. Philip then shares the good news with this Ethiopian in verses 30 and 31. Philip runs up to him when he hears him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and now he speaks. Now he interjects. He doesn't just stay back and just hope that something else will happen. He recognizes that the Spirit has led him to this conversation, that it's not a coincidence that this man is reading from the book of Isaiah. He goes up and he speaks to him. Do you understand what you're reading? The man says, no, how can I understand this? This is very, very complicated. And I know that some of us as Christians feel that way also, that the scriptures are very complicated. And I understand there's a real depth to the scriptures. Of course there are. It's about God. God is very complex, is very deep. Of course the scriptures are have so much depth in them. It's also important to remember that, particularly we look at the New Testament, it's written in Greek. There are two different kinds of Greek at this time period, around the first century. That there's what's called classical Greek, which is what all the philosophers and everything wrote in. And then there's what's called common Greek, Koine Greek, which is what everyone spoke in the streets. The Bible is written in Koine Greek. It's written in common speak. It's not meant to be high and lofty only for academics to know. It's for all of us. And I would just suggest to you that the vast majority of non-believers that you will interact with this week know less about the scriptures than you do. Even if you feel that you don't know them very well, first of all, great chance for us to say, yes, Lord, I want to know your scriptures better. And that's a daily process, a daily process. If we read our scriptures every day, I would suggest strongly to us that a year from now, we will know them better than we do today, wherever we are in our journey with the scriptures. But secondly, that you already know more than so many other non-believers. And not to get hung up on the, I don't know how to answer your questions. Okay, you can say that. I don't know. Just like the Ethiopian said it here too, although he's the non-believer, I understand that. But he says, I don't know what it says. He was humble enough to go ahead and say that and to ask for help. And for us too, if we're sharing the gospel with a non-believer, we can say, you know what? That's a great question. I don't know. Michael asked me a question last week that I didn't know the answer to. It happens all the time. I don't know why I'm saying it like it's some big surprise or big shock here. And I forgot to mention it. I meant to mention it at the very beginning this morning here. He said, well, who is Philip? Because there's more than one Philip in the scriptures. And I overlooked that last week and hadn't really looked into that carefully ahead of time. There are actually four Philips mentioned in the scriptures. Two of them have to do with they're related to Herod, and that's not who we're talking about here. But one Philip we see is one of the disciples. And then there's another Philip who's mentioned among the eight who are called deacons along with Stephen that are mentioned back in chapter 6 of Acts. And we see also now when the persecution came out against Christians at the stoning of Stephen, that everyone left Jerusalem, all the Christians left Jerusalem except for the apostles. The apostles still stayed there. So this Philip, having to do with being mentioned just in chapter 6, just in the context here, and then also being outside of Jerusalem, this is one of the deacons who was called to help with the food allotment to the women as opposed to the disciple, right? And I had to go look that up and really think about that because it wasn't clear at first which Philip we were talking about. It's okay that we don't know. Third, Philip shares the good news and he speaks to and speaks from the word of God in verses 32 and 33. He looks directly at the word of God, at the scriptures, and shares from that. He's not just sharing his own feelings, his own imaginations, his own thoughts. He's sharing from the scriptures. Now, I think it also is okay for us to tell our stories, to share the ways in which God has and which Jesus have worked in our lives. We can share of the times that we have been close to Jesus when Jesus has met us. We can share the times when we have felt the absence of Jesus. We can be real about that. I think it's very, very important for us to be honest with one another that there are times in our lives when we go through deep valleys, long valleys, where we don't feel the closeness of Jesus to us. Not everyone experiences things in the same way. But we don't have to hide Jesus. Jesus is strong enough to defend himself. I'm going to misquote this, but I believe it was Spurgeon who was once asked, how do you defend the word of God? I think is specifically what he was asked. And he was shocked and said, defend the word of God? What do you mean? He says, I open the cage like the cage of a lion and let it roar on its own. Who would ever defend a lion that is set free? We set the scriptures free, for they are real. Jesus is real. He can defend himself. And we can share our stories, but we also, what happens again and again in the scriptures, in the Bible we see, is that people are sharing the word of God. When they're sharing and they're telling people about Jesus, they're speaking from and sharing the word of God. They have a great connecting point here as the Ethiopian is reading from the word of God. He gets to go back to that passage and look what the Lord did. It's a passage right about Jesus, directly about Jesus that he's sharing or that he's reading right here. And so he's able to speak to the prophecy of Jesus who would be led like a lamb to slaughter for us on our behalf. He shares the word of God. Well, then he's not just speaking the word of God. He's not just quoting it and reading it to him because the Ethiopian had that and didn't understand it. Philip now opens the scriptures to the Ethiopian in verses 34 and 35. He talks to him about it. He shares what this particular passage means in the context of all of the gospel, of the context of Jesus. He can point back and say how this passage from Isaiah 53, speaks to Jesus some 600 to 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And he opens up all the scriptures, reminiscent of the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was resurrected. And it says that they were talking about Moses, and Jesus starts with Moses. And beginning with Moses, he explains and opens up all of the scriptures to them to show how the Christ himself had to die and then rise again from the dead. And so Philip here is sharing all the connecting points of scripture. Again, these are things that we learn by spending time in the scriptures, by spending time talking about them with one another. If we want to understand better the connecting points of scriptures, let's talk about it. Let's get together and ask questions about it. Let's think together about how the scriptures connect one to another. We'd be happy to sit down and spend some time doing that so that we understand the big picture of scripture. We understand the forest and how the individual trees fit into the scripture so that we too then can help to open the scriptures up to people that we encounter on a daily basis. In response, the Ethiopian believes and is baptized. He comes to the Lord. He believes the words that Philip says. He believes the scriptures as they are opened before him, and he wants to follow in obedience and be baptized. I think it is important for us to recognize here that he is immediately baptized, that there does not have to be a separation in time. Sometimes there is for some individuals, a separation between when they believe and when they are baptized. But I don't think that it always has to be that way. That here we see someone who believes and then is immediately baptized. I think it gives us pause to consider, what are we waiting for to be baptized? What is it that holds us back from following in the footsteps of the Ethiopian in obedience to Christ and saying, yeah, I do believe in Jesus, and enter into the waters of baptism as an external showing forth, an external declaring, sharing of what's going on inside of your heart, that you believe in Jesus. We have here an individual person who is following the Holy Spirit of God and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. As we're asking the question, what is the church and what do we do as the church and what is normal for us in the church versus maybe what is unique in the first century, we see here someone who is not an apostle, someone who is a believer, someone who follows Jesus, and he is open to the Holy Spirit to share the good news with strangers, with people that he meets throughout his day. Now, there are some extraordinary circumstances that go along with this. Yes, as God is still forming the church, that an angel speaks to Philip in a very special way, that after he's done evangelizing and the eunuch comes to faith in Jesus, that the Spirit takes Philip and supernaturally carries him away in a divine way, a miracle, carries him away to a different location. So yes, there are extraordinary things that are going on here. But what's not extraordinary in the scriptures is a Christian talking about Jesus to a non-believer. That this is part of who we are as Christians, as the church. That this is our calling. That this is our honor, our joy. That there are people we are going to see this week who do not know Jesus. And we could be the ones who get to share with them and talk to them about Jesus. We don't have to talk to them about church. We don't have to talk to them about the way they're living their life. We can talk about Jesus himself and how much Jesus loves them, how much Jesus cares for them and is right there for them, waiting for them to come to him and believe in him. God uses us to share the good news with other people, with other non-believers. God uses us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not waiting for someone else. It's not up to another person to share with your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. He's given that honor to us. Let us pray that He would lead us in that honor this week. Let's pray. Father God, we do ask that You would lead us this week and that You would give us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with someone. We pray that You would be preparing the hearts and souls, the minds of those people we will encounter this week, that there will be some connecting point, that we would be listening to Your Spirit and open to Your Spirit to lead us, O Lord God, into spiritual conversations. We ask that You would prepare our hearts to be Your words, to be Your hands and Your feet, to serve others, to share with others. There's a lost world, O God, that we are going to touch this week. I pray, O Lord God, that we would be Your vessels of bringing Your mercy and love to people who do not know You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.